Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoucy, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, quite the week, friends. Hope you had a good week. I know I did, and I forgot to do this last week, so better late than never. I am doing it this week, though, because I just remembered. But happy graduation to those who are graduating college, and especially to the parents who have kids that are graduating college. We got one more year at the Soucy household, but it's fun to see the pictures. And it's also a reminder of the film Fandango, which you can read about at the Filmy app. I believe it's still in their archives. That is the film I always try to watch graduation weekend. It is graduation weekend at Earlham, so Mrs. Soucy will be attending those festivities. But that's a film I'm going to try to watch over sometime this weekend. So anyway, just thinking about that. And but it was a good week. There's a film I'm really excited to share with y'all that I got to see this week. And you're going to have to look and see. It's from IFC. It's an IFC Canada. But it's the dramedy, the camera. But it's a film called Blackberry. And it's written and directed by Matt Johnson, who also stars in it, Jay Baruchel. This is the most mature performance I've seen from Jay. Jay is Mike. Matt is Doug. They run a ragtag tech electronics company. They're waiting on a $16 million deal from a company to sell their equipment that seems to not show up. And one day they are pitching their newest invention, which turns out to be the BlackBerry, to a corporate bigwig, Jim, played by Glenn Howerton, for you fans of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Initially rejected, Jim loses his job and winds up coming over to the ragtag group of Mike and Doug and offering them a load of money if he becomes CEO. He winds up becoming co-CEO. And what we wind up getting is a great comedy of errors between two business styles, the corporate shark and the shaggy, disheveled. It's the entire tech crew at RIM, which is Research in Motion, are 20-something white guys, and they play a lot of video games, and they have movie night, and it doesn't seem like they're actually working. But we know some folks are wired differently, and when it comes to tech and creativity, you need to have some creative stimuli in order to get some work done. But it is a great clash of styles, especially when Jim comes in and is trying to make it a legitimate business. And for a while, those who are young folks, BlackBerry was the electronic of choice until it wasn't. So it's going to give you flashbacks of The Social Network, although the dialogue is not Aaron Sorkin's. It's not crackling, but the performances are really good. And like I said, the combination of two styles, just when you think it's not going to work, it does work. You find out when you're doing a pitch. There's a great scene with a board where Jim is by himself pitching to a board of at Verizon with the great Saul Rubinick as the head of it. There's a fun moment right before that where Mike accidentally leaves the prototype in a cab. So it looks like Jim's going to have to do the pitch on his own. But you need the business guy and you need the tech guy to pitch at the same time. And it's a lovely moment when that happens. And we have those moments throughout the film, but then the bottom drops out. Something else happens. Steve Jobs gets an idea. The SEC comes in and comes into play. We find out Jim's been overcompensating and shelling out money he doesn't have. So I really was riveted in this. Being riveted while watching a movie at your desk, that's a good sign. I wish I could see this on the big screen. I hope to see this on the big screen. We'll have to see. But and then, of course, there's the wedge between Mike and Doug, the Matt Johnson character who's constantly in a bandana over his forehead, wants to keep it simple, wants to keep it local, wants to keep it small. Mike has bigger aspirations, going from khaki pants to a suit with his white wisp of white hair. And the big turning point is the idea that you have to have mass production in China, and Mike and Doug do not want to have mass production in China. If you're a fan of noir, you kind of know where it's going. There's a little corporate noir to this as well. No, a lot of it, actually. But, yeah, as I mentioned, Matt Johnson wrote and directed this as well as starring in it. Great characters. Cary Elwes comes off the bench. Rich Sommer, for you fans of Mad Men, comes off the bench. Michael Ironside is the kind of new corporate muscle, making sure that people are actually working when the business becomes more of a business than guys hanging out. And if you know electronics, it's not a good end for the BlackBerry. But kind of like other historical pieces, like Apollo 13, like Social Network, even though you know how it's going to wind up, it's still riveting to watch. And I was really, really into this. There is a moment that probably the hardest laugh I've had all year in film is early on, right before Mike and Doug's initial presentation to Jim. There is a moment involving a piece of Chinese-made electronics and what it does to irritate Mike, and then it comes full circle. And I will just leave it at that. But, yeah, the IFC film BlackBerry is already an early contender for my best 10 of the year. So look for BlackBerry. A lot of fun. We will get through some video titles, and then we'll go around the horn, and then we'll find out what you've been watching. We'll grab a pencil here at Film Sociology. Moving on to videos from Cohen Video. There is a drama from 2021 from Israel called Let It Be Morning. And it's directed by Aaron Koloran. Hope I'm saying that right. And best known for doing the film of The Band's Visit from 2007. So there you go, you musical theater fans. And this one shares a similar story of being isolated for various different reasons compared to The Band's Visit. In this one, Sammy lives in Jerusalem. He is visiting his brother who's getting married and back in his old Israeli village. And what happens when Israeli soldiers have put the village under lockdown? We don't know why, and we don't know how long. And he's trying to maintain work, but there's no cell. They should have had a BlackBerry. But there's no cell reception, no phone reception. So he's stuck at home with his relatives and friends. He is supposed to be the one who did good. He was able to get out of the small village and into the big city. We wind up that political and work tensions start to build, and then, as of course, family tensions start to build when and also there's a classmate of his who winds up taking over the village, and is this person involved with the army as far as running things around town or not? It keeps getting more difficult and more difficult, and then you're kind of hit with a slap in the face ending that works. But like I said, similar as far as being stuck, and in this case, a much darker reason compared to The Band's Visit. But still a pretty good film from Let It Be Morning from Cohen Home Video. Also out from Rero Cinema Art Visions Home Video is The Bell Star Story, which was directed by Lena Wertmüller back in 1968. So a spaghetti western with a female lead, played by Elsa Martinelli. American audiences know her from films like Captain Blood, Hatari, The Trial, The VIPs, Marco the Magnificent, Hail Mafia, Madigan's Millions as well as Candy. So in this one, she is Belle Starr, dressed like a man, acts like a man, winds up collaborating on and off with another Western rogue. And as the film goes on, we get flashbacks to how Belle Starr kind of became Belle Starr, whether it was becoming a victim of an assault, turning down a marriage set up by her father. But it's for the time, and also the fact that Lena worked on this, a female directing a female spaghetti Western was unheard of. It's unheard of now, yet alone 1968. But it has all the traits of a spaghetti Western that one likes. She winds up, there's a climax that winds up with forming a gang and getting the bank job going. But for its time, really cool look at girl power with a gun, especially with a woman behind the camera as well. So the Belle Starr story is out from Cinema Art Visions. A couple of films from Film Movement from England. We have the family drama Sweetheart, where teenager AJ, whose real name is April, whose real name is April Jane, but is in the phase of life of just wanting to be called AJ. And AJ is stuck, sadly, on the family vacation and this is the family that still calls her April. They go to the beach. She wears full clothing at the beach. She just wants to get away from her family. We've all seen these family trips. Hopefully you've not been a part of one. I have, not to this degree, not just as a teenager, but also as a parent. So, but this is also at the fact that AJ is verbally combative with the family about life, society, what their future entails. And things get a little more complicated when AJ meets the lifeguard Isla and invites her to a party. So AJ is able to use the ammunition from the parents and the family, or from her mom. Dad is left. So it's mom, sister, auntie, and a kid, and a couple kids, well, one kid, kid on the way. And she's being constantly berated about wanting to go find friends. And now she's found some friends, and does she have to leave the family event to go see them? And as time goes on, AJ and Isla get a closer and closer relationship. And it will come to a head, but it's a, you don't roll your eyes too much at AJ. And I've learned this now as a parent. I have more sympathy for the kid, especially when watching a film like Eighth Grade. I was getting flashbacks of that. But in this one, with the relationship between two girls, it's intimate. It's nice. There are problems along the way, especially dealing with other people, especially with going to a party and staying out late. Boys are always around, whether you want them or not. And family tension grows until there will be a family blow up an hour into the film. But to watch AJ kind of slowly come out of her shell, thanks to the family vacation and thanks to encountering the lifeguard Isla, it's worth checking out. So look for Sweetheart, which is out on Film Movement. And then the documentary Shabu out of the Netherlands, which Shabu is a 14-year-old boy, aspiring drummer. He's got big talent and big potential, but he's also got big problems. He wrecked his grandmother's car, and now he's got to pay for it, literally. So living in Rotterdam's toughest neighborhood in the Netherlands, Shabu finds out he's getting not a summer vacation, but he's going to have to get a summer job because he needs to pay for the repairs for his grandmother's car. We see him selling popsicles. They make their own popsicles, and he goes out into the street and sells those. And not working out as well as he wanted, not fast enough for him. Mom chews him out. Grandma chews him. Grandma's almost done talking to him. And Shabu is a kid. You're reminded of this. Yes, he is a knucklehead. He's still working his way through the world. And the film's climax comes when he decides he's going to throw a huge party, charge everybody, and the the cost of the party. Anyway, the money that he will earn for throwing the party will be able to pay for the car quicker. And it doesn't turn into a John Hughes story, and it's more the what I'm happy to say is the twist becomes, it's not about whether the party is successful or not. It is when Shabu and his grandmother see each other in person that really hits home. So this becomes more than just talented knucklehead story. So it works out. Shabu is out on IndiePix, I should say, the documentary from the Netherlands. And then, friends, from Film Detective, here comes the question. If you've seen a film get the Mystery Science Theater treatment, can you still watch it as is? Some you can, some you can't. But I recently revisited a non-Mystery Science Theater treatment of the Burt I. Gordon film, The Magic Sword. This is a United Artists film, and probably I think this might have been Burt I. Gordon's most expensive-looking film. It's a sword and sorcery tale. We have Basil Rathbone, Estelle Winwood, a young Gary Lockwood, a young Anne Helm. And Lockwood plays a young wannabe knight who is in love with the princess who has been abducted by Basil Rathbone. And now he wants to join a group of knights that wants to go and rescue her. He's kind of fun to watch ham it up. It's really fun to watch Basil Rathbone and Estelle Winwood put on her great Agnes Moorhead mode in this film. There is some of the inexpensive camera tricks. There's a great moment of a one character walking into a camera lens and then emerging as a creature. We do have the practical effects of the day and the practical makeup of the day. So, good scenery chewing by Basil Rathbone and those camel tricks. So I'm going to say sort of on this one, although the Mystery Science Theater riffs really help out. But you can have an unriffed version of The Magic Sword, which is out now by Film Detective. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Let's go around the horn, and then we will grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching lately. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, on Screen 1, Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and Wasp. Screen 2, Evil Dead Rise, Black Demon, and The Pope's Exorcist. There you go, three films. Screen 3, Hypnotic and Covenant. And on Screen 4, Super Mario Brothers and Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. That's at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In this weekend, Guardians of the Galaxy and Dungeons & Dragons. And don't forget, August 25th, the Super Monster Movie Fest Frozen Frights at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. And this weekend at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin, as far as I heard, everything's restored and ready to go. This weekend, 2 and 7:30 p.m., May 12th and 13th, The Wizard of Oz. Friday and Saturday, May 19th and 20th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., A Fistful of Dollars. And then May 26th and 27th, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., the original Smokey and the Bandit. And then May 31st and June 1st, there is a 7:30 p.m. screening on Wednesday, and then a 2 and 7:30 p.m. screening on Thursday. They had to reschedule this, The Glenn Miller Story. And then June 2nd and 3rd, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, Spirited Away. And then the Glenn Miller Orchestra will be at the Artcraft Theater, 3 and 7 p.m., Tuesday, June 6th. So that is happening over at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. Let's grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Taffy V. I got to get her on the show. She asked this on May 11th. Do you have pieces of art that are so important to you that you've internalized them completely, that you're the only one who you are because of them? For me, the movies Wings of the Desire and the novel Geek Love are my foundational texts. And I wrote that seeing Tender Mercies and Local Hero at age 13 were game changers for me. And the concept of less is more and the fact that as a 13-year-old straight male knucklehead, not everything has to be in all caps. So that was mine. So thank you, Taffy. Also, congratulations to Golan Globus Theater. They have their 5th anniversary this week, and they are discussing The Road Warrior. And they're also discussing comparisons to Fury Road. But I am happy to say I got to see The Road Warrior on the big screen with my dad when I was 12. And still one of the all-time great action films. There was a stretch of time where I was making my kid watch actual stunts by actual stunt people. Not necessarily the whole film, but I remember showing him The French Connection and Bullet and The 7-Ups. We did watch Grindhouse, Death Proof, and then but I did show them the last 20 minutes of The Road Warrior, which is still riveting. So congratulations to Golan Globus. Here is to 5 more years. So thank you, guys. All right, let's go to Twitter. And Oh Heck Yeah writes, tonight I am watching The Royal Tenenbaums with my daughter for an AP psych project. You can tell it's the end of the year and they've already taken the AP exam. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, heck yeah. I am reminded of my junior year of high school and Mr. Wallen, my history teacher. The last week of school, he just kind of threw his hands up and we watched every day, Monday through Friday, Gone with the Wind. It was my first time ever watching the film from start to finish. And there you go. And I love sharing that with Bianca. Okay. We go to Facebook. Amanda, of course, has been to the library, and Amanda writes, The King's Speech, Best in Show, Secretariat, The Greatest Game Ever Played, Friendly Fire, and Arsenic and Old Lace. So thank you, Amanda. Keep supporting your local libraries, especially when they have free rentals. Judy writes, The Post and Shock and Awe. Taylor writes, Air Force, Top Hat, Amsterdam, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., The King's Man, and Dune. Stephanie writes, much to my chagrin, Solo, A Star Wars Story. It didn't even live up to my low expectations. Now, Stephanie, I saw your Facebook page, and you did deem Solo the worst film you'd ever seen in your life. I'm sure it was for you, but it's not the worst film ever made. There's far, far worse out there. You've just not experienced them. So I know you worship at the altar of Harrison Ford. So sorry that you had to experience that. Mike writes Food Inc. Doug writes Don Juan, The Killing, Beauty and the Beast, Frozen, and Bohemian Rhapsody. Nancy writes A Time to Kill. Joe Shearer writes Blackberry and Pope's Exorcist, so check out Joe's review of Blackberry. Kurt writes King Ralph at the Bell Trace to celebrate the coronation, and I saw The Covenant in the cinema. Thank you, Kurt. Roger writes The Right Stuff and The French Lieutenant's Woman. Jamie writes Red Notice. Dustin writes, The Wild Bunch, the director's cut. I grin at that because I had just posted a photo of The Wild Bunch. It's one of my favorite stills. It's the one of William Holden, Ernest Borgnine, Warren Oates, and Ben Johnson having that walk, that famous walk before the final shootout. I wish I could have that ballooned up and framed in my office. But way to go, Dusty. Also, live from Lincoln Center, Joan Sutherland, Marilyn Horne, and Luciano Pavarotti in recital, as well as The Wrestler, which was my favorite film of 2008. Thank you, Dustin. Ronald writes The American President and Cobb. Lou Harry writes Chimes at Midnight and Scream 6. John writes Les Mis, the Hugh Jackman one. Or as he wrote, the High Jackman one. David writes Fantastic Mr. Fox and Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Missy writes Waco, The Aftermath, Lolita, Pretty Baby, the Brooke Shields documentary. Although you should watch Pretty Baby, the Louis Malle film. That'll stir things up. Step Brothers, Guardians of the Galaxy, Serpico, Best of Enemies. Oh, somebody recommended that to you, Missy. Missy and I hung out last week. As well as The Lighthouse. Mark writes Interstellar. I am left with many questions, mostly not the good kind. Abdul writes Guardians Volume 3. Recover and rest, my friend, and we will go to the movie soon, I hope. Eric, first views. First is Thunder Bay, the last of the Anthony Mann-James Stewart collaborations I hadn't seen yet. The rewatches, Clint Eastwood's Beautiful Million Dollar Baby, John Ford's Wagon Master, and Stanley Kramer's Inherit the Wind, a.k.a. the Spencer Tracy Frederick March Show. I'm with you on that one, Eric. I love Inherit the Wind. Abdul loves Inherit the Wind. Abdul's played Hornbeck. I would love to play Hornbeck. I have mentioned many times over the years that the scenes with Spencer Tracy and Frederick March are, for me, the acting equivalent to a heavyweight boxing match. I mean, that is two really different styles of acting. Frederick March could do more with a fan than most people could do with a script of dialogue, a whole script of dialogue. And Tracy was old school, hit your mark, look him in the eye, know your lines, period. And to watch those two go at each other and Inherit the Wind, it's a heavyweight title bout. And so I always said that the main event at an acting version of boxing would be Spencer Tracy versus Frederick March in Inherit the Wind. The undercard would have Ricardo Montalban versus William Shatner in Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. And I think also Meryl Streep versus Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt. You get the idea. But thank you, Eric. I appreciate you you chiming in. Cassie writes, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. David writes, The Road to Perdition and Down Periscope. Teresa writes, Bohemian Rhapsody. John writes, I apologize in advance. Been a while since I've posted here. I keep missing it. John, it's okay. You have a life. It's all right. I'm glad you were able to fill us in now. So here's what John watched. Stay tuned. The Omega Code. Moonraker. The Relic. He Walked by Night. Kansas City Confidential. The Speed Reporter. Jive Turkey. At Close Range. I need to visit that one again. Dinner Rush. Gleason. And Find Me Guilty. I revisited Find Me Guilty, John. I found it on Blu-ray, and I'm really glad I did. It was that's still Vin Diesel's best acting performance. That does not involve the Iron Giant or Groot. At the Theater, Return of the Jedi, Super Mario Brothers, and School of Magical Animals. Thank you, John. Hang in there. Daniel writes, Julie and Julia, HUD, Unhook the Stars, and To Catch a Thief. Patty writes, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. Gary writes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Night Beast, and American Hippie in Israel. Rachel writes, Guardians of the Galaxy. Carrie writes, Dungeons and Dragons, as well as Ghosted, Mario, and Renfield. Okay. Gabriel writes, how about an episode that just summarizes all the movies that have come out in the last 2 years? You know, for those of us who love movies but rarely get to watch them. No, Gabriel. So, yeah, that's great. Mulvine writes, The History of Cinema by Jean-Luc Godard, an amazing film, an abstract presentation. You must pay attention. Incredible what he does with images and sound. This is not your that's entertainment delivery. Jean-Luc Godard fans will not be disappointed. Thank you. JJ writes, Star Wars, the original. I was sick and needed comfort movie. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Airport, 1970. They don't make them like this anymore. I'm okay with that, JJ. Sorry. The large cast disaster movies. I'm really good. Conan the Barbarian, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3, an emotional finish to the trilogy. Thank you, JJ. Hope you're feeling better. Gary writes, Guardians 3 made me cry. Michelle writes, Jupiter Ascending, Soap Dish, Elvis, Mr. Mom, Coma, Paper Moon, Eat, Pray, Love, We Are Marshall, The Banshees of Inisherin, Juno, and Mystic Pizza. Michael writes, Last Train from Gun Hill, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I love The Friends of Eddie Coyle. That's another one I need to revisit. Linda writes, Jesus Revolution and The Fablemans. Christian writes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. Tom writes, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, still a solid movie after almost 70 years. Maltese Falcon, perfect cast and script. And then 3,000 Years of Lodging, curious and compelling movie, great star work. And finally, Molly writes, The Greatest Showman, loved it. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you've been able to watch some movies that are new, that are good, that are new, as or new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You just got to look for them. Once again, congratulations to Golan Globus Theater and their five-year anniversary and their breakdown of The Road Warrior. Also, you must remember this. They're doing Erotic 90s. This week, I've forgotten about this. At the same time of the whole Murphy Brown controversy, Candace Bergen's husband, the great Louis Malle, was directing the film Damage, which is one I need to revisit. So go check that out. And, this weekend at Footlight Musicals, you can see it this weekend and next weekend, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, a fun musical romp with yours truly as the voice of the book. Now, next week's show, we're going to turn into stage sociology a little bit. I'm going to have some of the cast and crew of Indie Bard Fest's production of Angels of America in studio. And then probably film sociology is going to go on vacation for a couple of weeks. I'm working on the program, the scheduling for when Mrs. Soci and I go on vacation. So anyway, be prepared. Keep the notebook by the movie, by wherever you watch your movie, and keep the titles coming. Maybe at the beginning of June, there's also the Chicago Blues Fest coming up. I'm unleashing a lot of material here. But we might do just a grab a pencil portion if there's enough material from you, the movie-going listening audience. So we'll see. We'll see. But I will try to keep you posted. But yeah, we'll have a regular show next week, and then who knows what else. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. I got it all mixed up. And happy graduation weekend to everyone.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!